So Jesus said, "And now I give you a new commandment." A new commandment? What's this? I mean, we know about the 10 commandments. You might even be able to recite a few of them from memory. Honor your father and mother. You shall not kill. You should not steal. Do not commit adultery. What else? What else can I remember? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the rest of them that are listed for your convenience in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. But today we heard that once when Jesus was dining with his disciples, he said to them, "And now I give you a new commandment, love one another." That's new? Well, actually the Ten Commandments don't really talk about loving one another. The Ten Commandments teach how to be God's faithful subjects, such as not worshiping other things as if they were God, treating God's name and image with respect, setting aside time each week to remind ourselves of the relationship that we have, that God is God, that we are God's children, that we are not God. The Ten Commandments teach us how we can be God's obedient and loyal subjects. And the Ten Commandments also teach us how to be good citizens in society. Society doesn't work well if people tell lies about each other, or if people obsess in wishing that they had things belonging to others, or if people steal stuff, or if they violate the exclusivity of committed relationships. So the Ten Commandments do tell us how to stay in line, maintaining order in society. But still, the Ten Commandments fall short. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explained to the crowd, "Don't even begin to think that I have come to do away with the teachings of the law and the guidance of the prophets. I haven't come to do away with them, but to fulfill them." Jesus had no desire to undermine God's authority. Jesus did not want to upset community orderliness reinforced by the Ten Commandments' respect for life and respect for property. But Jesus wanted to fulfill our destiny. He wanted to create something that went beyond fearful respect of God and a lawful respect for neighbors. So Jesus gave his followers a new, simply worded commandment: love one another. Love one another. Now, if you listen carefully, you realize that his new commandment doesn't merely tell his followers to love others. This goes beyond loving others. I mean, loving others had been prescribed back in Old Testament times. In Leviticus chapter 19, Moses declared that the Lord had commanded the people to love others. Quote, "Do not take revenge on others or continue to hate them, but love your neighbors as you love yourself." So, of course, there's nothing wrong with loving others. Often that is an outward-focused love, a love that looks after the needs of people outside your group. Jesus described an example of loving others, loving someone outside one's group, in that parable of that good Samaritan caring for the man who'd been mugged while he was traveling the Jerusalem-Jericho road. So what's new about Jesus' new commandment? It's not just about loving your neighbor or loving others, like those people far, far away. Loving one another refers to the people you're with. Jesus could see that loving one another would create community among the people who hold a common faith in Jesus as Son, Lord, Master, and Savior. When Jesus told his followers to love one another, he envisioned more than nice behavior. Jesus envisioned a bond that would result in a community who would encourage each other and support each other, rescue each other, and serve each other. Now, in practice, of course, while we may be able to serve each other without hesitation, we aren't likely to be able to have the same level of fellowship with everyone. Years ago, the great Quaker writer Thomas Kelly said, "No single person can hold all dedicated souls within his or her compass of steadfast fellowship with equal vividness." By the way, he considered fellowship so important that he wrote it with a capital F, fellowship. Kelly went on to acknowledge that there are degrees of fellowship. I mean, although all might be within the bonds of love, some are nearer to us individually than others. Some of those who are not so near to us might be nearer to others, though, making various groupings in the church that overlap one another. The author, Kelly, continued, "The total effect in a living church is a sufficient intersection of the bonds to form a supporting, carrying network of love for the whole of humankind." He concludes, "Where the fellowship is lacking, the church is lacking, and the kingdom of God has not yet come. For these bonds of divine love and carrying are the stuff of the kingdom of God. Those who are in fellowship are in the kingdom of God." That Quaker author's vision of a living church brings to my mind the image of children playing that game with string, the cat's cradle. Now, it's been a very, very long time since I've played that. But as I recall, as the players loop and pull and tuck the string, they create a web of strings going back and forth between their hands in all different directions. And that's what happens here. As we reach out to others in the church with the love seen in friendship, in participation, in acceptance. I mean, imagine this. This person knows the women of her circle, and she knows the people on her ushering team. And some of the people on her ushering team are related to others who teach Sunday school. And those who teach Sunday school know the children in their class and the parents. And some of those parents know some of the deacons in our church because they live on the same street, and you've created this carrying web. We can't know everybody. But the web of acquaintance we create becomes what that Quaker author called a supporting, carrying network of love for the whole of humankind. So this new commandment was new to the disciples. Jesus intended the act of loving one another to build community, to build trust, to build interdependence among the believers. It was new to them. It's not new to us. In today's installment of my sermon series about spring awakenings, our attention to this new commandment of Jesus serves simply as a reminder. Let's remember that what we have in this church is not accidental, and it's not unimportant. It's not a selfish thing to show Christian affection for the people gathered here, because we're not strengthening our church community in order to keep others out. We're learning to live and serve and worship together to better equip us to reach out to our communities. And it's not a personal failing if we don't have the same degree of love for every single person here. It's unrealistic to imagine everyone having the same affection for everyone else. But what is realistic is our desire for each one here to feel connected to someone else here. As we strive for that, we approach the desire of Jesus that we love one another.